This is podcast number 3 for Love Appy. Today we have an interesting subject. We're going to talk about 23andMe and how the data collected by 23andMe can actually affect your family life, your love life, and we're going to kind of like try to imagine what the future is.
Okay, so I grew up in a very middle class. I had a very middle class upbringing in New Jersey. Grew up with both my parents. They are still married almost 50 years at this point. And a brother and a sister. I'm the middle child. And for me, I felt like I had a very normal upbringing. Both my parents worked. They always encouraged in us to also work, you know, really to support ourselves and be independent. And I look back really fondly on my childhood as being this quote-unquote normal in comparison to other friends of mine. Like, a lot of my friends came from families of divorce, and they had stepbrothers and stepsisters and would spend weekends with one parent or the other. And to me, that was just not my experience. Both my grandparents were very involved in the church. My grandfather was a member of the Knights of Columbus for his local church, and my grandmother started catechism at that same church. So to them, you know, religion was very tied up in your family life, and it defined you. It was kind of like made you who you were. I mean, I'm 39 years old now, so I have my own family at this point. I've been married for almost 5 years. Both my siblings are married, have their own significant others and children, and we've settled into this norm of our own family lives. Now my parents are grandparents, and to us, this is how I'm sure we thought we were going to move forward.
You had an idea of who your parents were?
Oh, yeah.
From when you were growing up?
Very much so.
You attended church?
Yes.
You prayed?
Yes.
You believed in them, you believed in yourself, and you believed in God?
Absolutely.
And God was probably leading you, or the teachings of the church were kind of leading you down the path that you thought was the best for you.
Certainly. A big deal in my family was the sacraments. You know, you got your communion. Every one of the sacraments was celebrated with a huge family party. You know, that was always like a rite of passage in my family. The communion, the wedding, like all of these things were very, they were done with the church and very celebrated.
Mm-hmm.
So that was
great.
Important to us.
Sounded like you felt very confident.
Sure.
Growing up, you had faith to lean on. You had your parents to lean on.
Mm-hmm.
Your brothers and sisters. If they did something wrong, you kind of all worried about each other.
Oh yeah.
About whether you're going to go to hell or you're going to go to heaven. I'm sure.
Sure. But yes, we definitely had morals and a moral compass that revolved around, you know, the church and what the church felt and thought.
Right. So it sounds like a pretty normal life.
Mm-hmm.
When did you start to see things a little bit differently as an adult?
Everything kind of came to a head this past May. My first cousin went onto the website 23andMe. She got it as a gift from, I believe, a boss of hers. So she thought, why not? Like, why wouldn't I use this? She submitted her DNA. I believe that they give you a tube that you put your saliva into, you mail it away, and you get a membership through the app on your phone, and you receive your information after a period of time. When she did it about 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So every so often, she would get an email from the app saying, we found a match. It's this person. It's that person. And up until now, she always knew who those people were because they were her family members. They were people that she knew from growing up with in life. In May, she got an email saying she'd been connected with a person and she did not know their name. She didn't know who they were. They're from Florida. As far as we know, we don't have family members in Florida that are connected to us. The app offers their belief of how you're connected to this person. It said, we believe you're connected through a grandparent. You have a grandparent in common with this person. They are most likely your first cousin.
Okay.
She looked at the name, did not recognize the name.
Mm-hmm.
So she shot off an email to this person and said, this is so interesting. My name is Jay, and I don't believe that we've ever met. I'm so curious because the app is telling me we are first cousins.
Right. So do you feel like there was an invasion of family privacy right then and there?
For her, it just was more curious. She was curious because she just did not know who this person was. And the app was insisting, you're related to this person. You have DNA matching with this human.
Did she immediately tell all of you?
She didn't tell anyone.
Okay.
She was more curious. So her gut instinct was to write to them. It's also her nature, very friendly.
Mm-hmm.
She said, maybe we're connected through my grandmother on this side.
Right.
And stated some names and backgrounds and areas of the world that they're from. Maybe you're connected through my mother's side. And the same thing for that side. What she received back at that point was an email from a woman who stated that she was very sorry if my cousin was disappointed, but she had been adopted and she did not know how they were related because she didn't know who her grandparents were.
Wow.
She had been born in 1970. Mm-hmm. She had been adopted through Christian Services mm-hmm. in the Bronx, New York.
Okay.
And she had signed up for 23andMe to find out about genetic illnesses that may be in her lineage.
Right.
So she didn't want to disappoint my cousin. However, she didn't also want to cause a problem because this is probably a deep, dark, hidden family secret. And if this is the last time we speak, that's okay.
Right.
Signed her name and that was it.
Right. Wow.
So
what happened after that? So was your cousin curious?
Oh, yeah.
At this point?
Now she wants to know. Now she's right. Like, I have to find out who this is.
Right.
So she called her parents, who are my aunt and uncle.
Right.
And questioned them. Said, who is this person? Because I want to know who this is. Do mm-hmm. you know who it is? And my uncle said to her, yes, I think I know who that is, based on the date, the place, the timing.
Right.
But this is a bigger thing, and I really need you to kind of lay back a little bit, and I'm going to handle it.
Right.
And at that point, he decided to phone me directly.
Okay.
Driving home from work.
This is your uncle?
This is my uncle. This is my mother's brother.
Okay.
So just to frame it, he's about 10 years younger than my mom, and he only knew what I'm about to tell you from overhearing conversations as a child.
Wow.
And then several years later, he verified it with an aunt of mine who's my mom's sister.
Right.
So I was driving home from work one night in May, and I get a phone call from my uncle, and he says he wants to speak to me, but he wanted to know where my husband was. He said, where's your husband? I said, well, he's at home. Why? And he says, I have something important to tell you. And I, of course, think someone's passed away because that's the only time that we really speak under these types of circumstances. He seemed concerned. So
I'm sure you're scared to death.
I was afraid, and immediately my stomach clenched. I said, oh my gosh, what's wrong? He told me the story of what had happened with my cousin and the email. And he said, and I need to tell you something. I'm coming to you because I feel like you're the good representative for your family. Mm-hmm. And I wanted you to know that I believe this to be your sister.
Okay. Wow.
So
that's
kind of stopped for a pause, and I tried to process that he's telling me that he thinks that this person on 23andMe is my sister.
What was your first thought?
I just felt happy for some reason. I felt like flushed with happiness. Like, I knew that what he was saying was true. Immediately, like, instinct told me, like, this makes so much sense. Like,
right.
I do. I have another sister.
Well, you could feel it within
I felt
you?
It. I felt like he was right for some reason. I just knew he was right. So I asked him, I said, how do you know this is my sister? What is making you believe this to be my sister? And at that point, he shared a story with me. When my mother was 17, she had a boyfriend that she had met at a dance at a local military base. And that boy had become her boyfriend for a period of time. And my mom became pregnant by him. Now, in an Irish Catholic family, the oldest daughter is almost like a second mother. She helps kind of take care of all the children. So that was my mom at that point. She was like a second mother in the household. And to my grandparents, this was the ultimate sin.
Wow.
Our oldest daughter is now pregnant out of wedlock. It's 1970. We have to close ranks. We can't let this happen. So my mother at that point was told that she was going to go away for about a year and she was going to have this child and she was going to give it up for adoption.
Mm-hmm.
So they arranged through their local church that my mom was going to go live with the family as an au pair or a nanny for the first 7 months. And then for the last 3 months, she was going to live with Catholic Services in a woman's shelter / hospital in the Bronx. And she was going to give birth to this child.
Wow.
And that's
where
what my mother
what happened
did.
To the boyfriend?
The boyfriend was in the military at the time. And his parents wanted him to be sent away. So he enlisted officially and was sent to Vietnam.
But he was in the military first.
He was already in the military at that time in like a junior military, like underage.
Oh, okay.
When he turned 18.
He was like in a military school.
Yes.
And then he joined the military.
When he turned 18 and he was sent to Vietnam, from what I understand.
Do you know the name of the family? Has your family delved into that?
I don't.
So you don't know about your other relatives related to...
This woman, no, no. I'm not sure who this gentleman is.
Okay.
All I was told was that he was a boyfriend of my mother's for a period of time. And once he turned 18, he enlisted into the army because his family wanted him to get out of the situation. Just like my mother's family wanted her to get out of the situation.
Okay, that's interesting. So he might be alive, he might be dead.
I was told that he had passed away in Vietnam. I don't know if that's true or not.
Right. Well, then you could easily... I mean, there were 52,000... soldiers.
Right.
52,000, I believe, 880 soldiers that died in Vietnam. Mm-hmm. So you could probably look up the names.
I'm sure we
could.
And then
track down from there.
Yes.
You know, who that soldier was, if he died.
If he died, we would be able to find him probably fairly easily.
Were they in love, your mom and this guy?
I believe they were. My initial thought was, does my dad know? Because mm-hmm. one of my first questions to my uncle was, is this my father's child?
Right.
He
right.
said, no, it's not your father. It's a boy she was dating at the time. She met your father about a year later.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember racking my brain and saying, well, I know my parents married in 71. And
right.
I know that it's April 71. So if the math lines up, and I just remember doing this timeline in my head, if this girl was born in April of 1970 and my mother married April of 1971 to my father, this all happened in a very brief period of time.
Right.
I wasn't trying to disprove it because I almost knew it was true, but I was trying to put myself in the mind of a woman who, or even a girl who at 17 years old is told that she has to do this or her family is going to disown her. Was my father her escape plan? Was he, they married and moved to Colorado and were gone by 1972. So
wow.
It almost felt to me as though she was running from something. And I've always had this feeling that my mother was running her entire life.
Okay, so let's talk about your mom.
Yes.
A little bit. So we know that there was a secret baby.
Yes.
In 1970.
Mm-hmm.
In the height of the hippie era.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Was your mom a hippie?
Oh, yeah.
She was a hippie. So she was a free spirit.
Yes.
Did she meet this gentleman in New Jersey?
She did. She met him at a military dance at a local military base. And they used to have dances for the younger boys. I believe it was called like an academy.
Okay.
And they would have these academy dances. And the girls would go to them to try to meet
right.
these young men. That was like a thing back then.
Did your mom seem happy during her life?
There was always friction with her and her mother. And that was always made very clear to us. Our grandmother was this person that kind of struck fear in my mother and her siblings.
Mm-hmm.
She was to be respected. It was always very clear she was the disciplinarian in that home. They were very strict with them. And that always seemed to cause sadness with my mother.
Right. What did your husband and your brother and your sister say about, you know, mom and dad, and, you know, what were they thinking about them? Were they saying, wow, we can't believe anything they say? Or were they saying, this is something that they needed to keep secret?
I feel like our initial response, and I say we, meaning my sister and I, wanted to almost to protect her. Like, we felt like a lot of the sadness we'd seen in her over the years made sense suddenly.
Mm-hmm.
And we now are being tasked with telling her that this woman is out there and we know who she is. Because we have the app. We know who she is. She doesn't know we exist yet, but now we know she exists.
Right.
And we have to go tell our mother this.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt very protective of her. Does my dad even know about this child?
Right. So your dad doesn't know anything either.
We didn't know initially if he knew. So
does he know?
He does. Yes.
He does know. Did he always know about the baby?
He always knew about the baby.
He's quite a man.
He is.
Right. And he truly loves your mom.
He does.
That's
he drives her crazy, but he loves her.
That's a beautiful love story.
It is. It is.
Was there any lack of satisfaction in your mom's eyes, face? As a woman, when you looked at your mom, did it look like she was longing for the other man?
I don't know that she was longing for him. I do feel like she was always missing this child. There was always a sadness in her, and I can't really describe it without saying very upfront with you that there were addiction issues with her our whole childhood
right.
up until the last 10 years when she finally got sober.
I understand.
And the root of that now makes a lot of sense to us in retrospect.
Right. I understand. Yeah, I would imagine things weighing on someone, you try to self-medicate.
Sure.
So how is your mother reacting now? Now she knows the child is out there.
It's strange. She cried, of course, when we went to her and talked to her. we felt it was important to go to her altogether and let her know that we knew, but that's difficult because we didn't want to tell her in front of my father in case he did not know. So we had to get her alone, which is hard. They're very connected, the two of them. Mm-hmm. And we asked her about it and then told her that this woman's out there and that we wanted to know if we had her permission to reach out to her.
Right.
And she cried and she got a big smile on her face and she said she always felt like we would find out. She just never believed it would happen in this way. It's very bizarre.
Right.
You spit in a tube, you send it away in the mail, it comes back, and it wasn't even one of us who did it.
Right.
It was a family member.
Right.
None of us certainly asked for this, but I really believe if this didn't happen, we would not know. We never would have been told.
Well, do you feel like there's any bit of an invasion of privacy?
In a way, yes. I know that my mother feels that way.
Right. So, I mean, it seems like 23andMe and other human genome services are gathering a lot of data.
Mm-hmm.
You know, their kit is very inexpensive.
Right.
Making it accessible to mostly everyone.
Yes.
And they're certainly selling to people saying, well, learn your ancestry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, learn about your health in the future. Do you feel this is a good thing after this good thing happened to you? Or do you think this could really blow up further? Can it complicate life?
I worry that it's a very slippery slope. In the weeks leading up to finding out about this, it was almost as if I knew something. The story about the serial killer in California had come out, I believe, at the end of April.
Right.
And they were saying how they had discovered a link to his DNA because his granddaughter had submitted her DNA to a website, and that's how they were able to find him. Now, I feel like that's an extremely slippery slope when it comes to how they're using it. For sure.
Right.
How are they using it? Who are the third parties who are getting this information? I don't not want the police to use it. I feel like that's an important tool that they should use.
Right.
However, a lot of this information is indeed being sold to third parties.
Right.
Outside of 23andMe. Who are these people and what are they using it for?
So you trust...
You have pharmaceutical companies who are vying for this information and willing to pay millions of dollars for it. To me, that's unethical.
Right. So you trust the police absolutely with the information?
I want to believe that the police would use it for the right reasons to hopefully solve crimes and to, even if it came down to getting people out of jail that weren't the perpetrators,
right.
You certainly hope it would be used in an ethical way.
Right.
It's very hard to tell if it would be. There would have to be some type of service that was overlooking all of it, some set of standards, right?
Right.
To make sure it was being used properly.
Well, with your imagination, what could go wrong?
I mean, as far as the police are concerned, or
no,
just
in terms
general?
Of this data being collected from your family,
mm-hmm.
Now pretty much anyone along your family line,
mm-hmm.
They've got the data on them.
Sure.
They have now. Facebook has your actions.
Right. Yes.
Right. The words you use and
mm-hmm.
what you do and the events you go to and so forth. Combining the two of those in your own imagination, what could happen? Nothing?
Of course not. I would certainly not want pharmaceutical companies getting hold of it. They've proven in the past that they can't be trusted with information about people. They've used, specifically pharmaceutical companies, have used information like that against people.
Right.
They've harvested information. Now you have these big pharma vying directly for information from 23andMe and Ancestry.com. They want it.
Right.
Why do they want it? What's the big idea?
Well, I mean, just like you trust the police, you'd have to trust the pharmaceuticals. It's a question of, you know, who gets the information. You know,
right.
From a twisted perspective, I see this as being a very dangerous thing because not this generation, but the next generation, people may use it in terms of dating. Well, I don't want to date that person because they have a cancer gene.
Sure.
Or they have a mental illness gene, or they have a suicide history, or somebody was promiscuous down the line.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to be associated with them.
Right.
So it seems like there might be an instant new form of racism, except
absolutely.
Genism,
sure.
Right, that comes down the pike. But I'm cynical
mm-hmm.
on these type of things. And of course, I get scared when I see new things happening. It's absolutely shocking what happened to your family.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me ask you a couple of questions, since this is actually for Love Appy or, you know, or dating site.
Yes.
How, in your mind, can this affect your parents' relationship?
Mm-hmm.
How is it going to affect your relationship with your husband and children?
Mm-hmm.
Your sister, your new sister?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How do you think that this will affect life in general and love in general? Could this have ended your parents' marriage if he didn't know?
Sure. I think that there is a definite spin on it that says if my father was a different type of man, he may not have married my mother or even dated her.
Or left her now.
Exactly. Now that this has all come up, I've seen my father become very upset by it. My father, for sure, feels like it's an invasion of privacy. This was a secret that him and my mother have kept from us for a reason. And I feel like it was because they didn't want me to, myself and my siblings, to look at my mom in a bad way or judge her. Judge him, judge mm-hmm. her actions, question her decision to give up this child, even though she was nearly an adult. Mm-hmm. Of course, now that we ourselves are adults with children, our response was very different. We felt the need to help my mom and make this be something she could put behind her and accept and grow from.
Right.
Would I have taken that information differently even 10 years ago? Absolutely.
Right.
I probably would have been very upset that she had kept it from us.
Right. So you have grown up.
I believe
so. And you're
so.
More mature.
Sure.
And you feel like she had to deal with different times, different
yes.
circumstances. Mm-hmm. I mean, this particular situation kind of touches on a whole lot of things.
It does.
Your mom was a devout Catholic mm-hmm. and decided she was going to have the baby. She was not going to have an abortion.
Right.
That's an interesting approach.
It
because
is.
It seems as if in the 70s there were many, many abortions. Mm-hmm. And we were dealing with Roe versus Wade and
right.
the argument that still goes on today. So your mom made a decision,
mm-hmm.
but losing the child or losing contact with the child affected her possibly with the addictions and
yeah,
so on. Now, what about in your marriage? How does your husband handle this?
My husband is a wonderful person. He's always been very kind and accepting of my family and their perceived faults, my perceived faults.
Right.
He also comes from a family of addiction. We both feel very strongly about having our own families that do not have that element in it, especially when raising our children. I strongly believe that some people who come from an addictive family either go one way or the other. You either become an addict yourself, or you have the stance that you are going to live your life without that, and you're very against it. He's the second one, I believe. I really feel like he lives his life to be a good role model to his children.
Mm-hmm.
He lives his life without judgment. And for that, I'm grateful because this whole situation he took with love. He
right.
said, it's wonderful. You have another sister. When can we meet her? Does she have children? And she does. She has two boys.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it strengthened us. It really made me feel like he had my back.
Great.
He wasn't going to judge my mom or think it was odd.
Right. With the addiction gene
mm-hmm.
or alcoholism gene, I'm assuming
right.
it was alcohol, your children,
mm-hmm.
what if someone looks at their bloodline, their genes,
right.
and says, well, wow, your family has addiction in the family.
Right.
Sorry, Mary. Sorry, Bobby.
Right.
You love each other, but it's got to end here. What happens then?
Well, think of that future. Right now, if we go on a dating app and we see a potential mate, we can Google them. And do they have a criminal background? Do
right.
they have anything that I can dig up on the internet? Imagine there's a day where I can click a button and see if he has a cancer in his history, if he has addiction in his history, what were his parents like? What's their genealogy? That would be an interesting future, right?
Yeah, I just wonder how many great human beings that have faced challenges in their lives and kind of mesh that into greatness
mm-hmm.
we would miss out on
right.
because people avoided
right.
the problem genes.
Sure.
Because it seems like great people often come from very difficult mm-hmm. times and experiences. And I think the great inventors, the musicians, the artists,
mm-hmm.
the engineers that struggle the most seem to be the most creative.
Right.
So who's to say whether we're going to kill off creativity by being cautious or even love? I'm not sure. But sure sounds like The Handmaid's Tale to me.
It does. It touches on that for sure. It harkens back to the Second World War, as we had spoken about the other day. It's a very scary line.
Right.
To think of that could even be our future, that you could see all of that information, it could be made public. How would it become public? I'm not sure, but I know that 23andMe is now offering a premium version. It's very expensive. It's like about $800,
mm-hmm.
and they're test marketing it right now to see if people would be interested in spending that amount of money to get their full workup of their health history.
Right.
And they would use all this information they've already been harvesting to create that information for people.
Right.
That's scary.
Yeah. I mean, when you talk about Catholicism or Judaism
mm-hmm.
or Hinduism, whatever it is, you know, how does faith get interfered with? And, you know, hope and science just runs over everything. And I don't know. But I want to thank you for joining me. I think it was a great story.
Thank you so
much.
And
I hope that you have much love in your family.
Thank you.
And I hope to see great success in you.
Thank you so much, Mark. I appreciate that.
Thanks.